This is the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation podcast in association with Hort Week and our sponsor, Westland Horticulture. Westland Horticulture are a leading horticultural company dedicated to helping people create and maintain beautiful, healthy gardens. Westland are long-term supporters of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation and launched a named fund in 2023 to help students studying horticulture. Find out more about Westland by visiting gardenhealth.com.
We're at a crucial point, I think, at the moment with agriculture, and I think we're going to see a bigger role for artificial intelligence.
I'm Neville Stein, one of the trustees of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. We know it's quite hard to find good information about horticultural careers, which is why we made this podcast. On this episode of the podcast, we'll be talking to Laura Bouvet. Laura is Knowledge and Innovation Facilitator at AgriTechE, a company that is spearheading the fusion between high tech and agriculture. I wanted to talk to Laura to find out more about how technology is changing the face of agriculture and how people can find out more about the opportunities that can be found in the sector. Laura, I took a look at your website and some of the phrases on there caught my interest. In particular, I was really taken with this phrase, innovative farmer. What does that mean?
It's a really good question. It's not just about the technology. You don't have to be using the latest technology on farm. It's as much about practice as it is about mindset and being open to doing things differently, being open to trying new things, whether that's a new product or a new practice. And I think for me, that is the main thing, being open-minded. That does come with taking some risks. So I think farmers have to be comfortable with a certain element of risk. And I think that's where technology companies, for example, have a really big role in helping, at least initially, to de-risk trying a new product or a new technology. But I think it's about mindset and doing things differently.
Have you got some examples of some of those simple innovation practices?
One example that comes to mind is we've got this new company on board as one of our members at AgriTechE with this piece of kit. People can take samples from the soil, put that into the machine, and you can get all sorts of different readings from physical, chemical properties of the soil, but also biological properties like biomass of the microbiome, for example. So a really good indicator of soil health. And that's something that people can take with them in the field. So it doesn't have to be something that has to be taken back to the lab where people then have to wait for a little bit of time and get readings from it. Another one that comes to mind, we just went on a visit with some of our members to Wildcan Hill in North Norfolk. And Nick, who's the farm manager there, showed us his journey of how he's gone from knowing very little about soil health to doing his own compost and helping people, helping farmers around his neighbourhood, doing things differently and knowing more about the microorganisms that live in the soil using a microscope. That took me back to my biology days. And yeah, it was just really exciting. Yeah. So
I remember those as well.
Yeah, it's really great, I think, to be able to apply science, and there's always a starting point, and it doesn't have to be with the latest, fanciest piece of kit. I think just upskilling yourself with knowledge, going on courses, going on visits as well, going to events and speaking to other people, that's just a great way of learning.
And those are some interesting examples you've given of a simple innovation. So on the flip side, have you got an example of some real space age innovation, let's use that phrase, that might be happening in the UK ag sector?
You mentioned space. I think this is also an incredibly exciting area of agriculture, space observations. There's a lot of satellites up there that can help us with monitoring crops. Increasingly, more of them are able to deal with things like cloud cover, for example, and can be high resolution so as to help with farmers monitoring their crops, or it could be monitoring pests. The technology is fast moving. We held an event on space observation and the application of that in agriculture last year, I think, and already things have evolved.
Laura, that sounds incredible that, you know, satellite technology is available to help farmers. How are they accessing that information? Surely a farmer doesn't have to have a satellite himself up in space.
No, absolutely not. No, imagine the number of satellites we'd have to have around.
Sure.
No, people can access that information via apps on their phone or on their desktop back at the farm office.
So Laura, I'm a farmer, I'm accessing this, you know, tech data, if you like, from satellites. What's that going to mean to my business? You know, am I going to improve yield? You know, am I going to save time? Am I going to make more money? What's the story there?
Depending on what you're wanting to achieve, a lot of these technologies are helping people forecasting better, whether it's yield forecasting. But with the example of pests monitoring, the idea is that diseases can be flagged up at an early stage where farmers can still do something about it, either decide to spray early enough in advance. Whereas, you know, a lot of the time when you see disease in the field, it's very often too late with the type of sprays that are being used. You know, if they're preventative, once the disease is there, there's not a lot that you can do. So it's about helping farmers, highlighting what measures they can take. Essentially, it's about helping their decision making at the right time.
Now, I'm intrigued about your job title. You're called a knowledge and innovation facilitator. Tell me, what is a typical day like in the life of Laura?
Well, a typical day, I usually talk to farmers and researchers and check in with our members in general. So, for example, this morning I had a look at my emails, organising some meetings for the rest of the week and also having meetings to prepare events, for example. Later on this week, I will be going on an early career innovators farmers visit. We're going to visit the R&D of a vertical farm. So my days are usually a mix of visits, emailing people, talking to people, preparing events. So it's really varied. And that's what I really enjoy about my job.
And it sounds like from what you've just said, you're the heart of what's happening in the UK agriculture. But is that your background? You know, were you born on a farm?
Haven't got a farming background, but I was always interested in the natural world, in biology. That's what I studied at university. After my biology degree at the University of York, I went to the University of Nottingham, and there my master's was quite interesting because we also looked at the commercial side of things. So that's where I got to learn more about innovation management, commercialization, how you turn innovative ideas into a commercial viable product. So that was a really interesting insight into everything that happens after research. I then was a technician at NIAB. I got great insights into trials and how you manage those. I stayed at NIAB and did a PhD in wheat pathology because I caught the pathology bug when I was a technician and stayed in that field. But I think always interested in, you know, what happens after research, how is research being applied, how is that going to be of use to farmers, the end users, and being able to talk to a different audience. You know, the way I talk to academics isn't the same as I talk to farmers. So I like to think that I speak several different languages. But yeah, so I don't have a farming background, but I have gone into the industry with a research hat on.
Sure. Well, it seems like, you know, you've got a really solid background there in research. You know, I have the perception, whether I'm right or wrong, of course, that certainly farmers and growers, they tend to be typically family businesses. And I'm sure you've come across so many like that. You know, from your experience, how easy is it for someone to come into the sector and perhaps do something like you're doing without having that sort of family connection to farming?
I think it's become easier now. There's a lot less emphasis on farming just being about, you know, muddy boots and tractors. There's so much more that is exciting to agriculture and horticulture. There's, of course, a technology angle, and we're seeing a lot of engineers, data scientists that have no farming background, but the industry needs their skills. So I think over the years, we're seeing a lot of benefit. I think the industry is seeing a lot of benefit from people who have a different skill set that the industry needs. And just having those collaborative conversations is where we get a lot of benefit.
Sure. So if I was an IT or a tech guy and, you know, spent my career doing that, but suddenly became interested in using my skills to really develop perhaps the UK agricultural scene, where would I go about looking for a job, a tech job in agriculture or horticulture? What would I, you know, what are the steps I might take?
Well, one easy step that you could take is come to us at AgriTechie. We've got a good understanding of the industry and its dynamics. And over the years, we have gained experience helping people get into the industry and providing them with the knowledge, helping them cut through the noise and know who they need to know. But we also have a job zone on our website where we upload a number of jobs from our members. That changes all the time and gives a really good overview. If you're someone that wants to do that career change and wants to have a better idea of the sorts of roles that are available and what skills are needed, go to our job zone on our website and you'll have a better idea of the sort of skills and roles that are currently available. That's a really good starting point. But I think increasingly a lot of people are using social media as well. LinkedIn is a really good source of opportunities for jobs and a platform, I think, that the industry is using more and more.
And it sounds like you've got quite a lot of networking events going on within in your organization. Are those something that, you know, if I was into tech but not perhaps a farmer, are they events that I could turn up to and perhaps get a feel for the sector?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what our events are for. It's to gain knowledge, upskilling yourself, find out what the latest is on a particular topic, the latest research and technology happening in this area, and also to meet other people. Great networking opportunity, and we try and cater to everyone as much as possible. So our events are open to members and non-members. We've got online events, but we also have in-person events. If you want the latest on the agritech ecosystem in general and talking to as many people as possible, come to our REAP conference. That's in November every year. A great way to network and find out what's going on in agritech.
That sounds absolutely great advice. You, earlier on in the interview, you gave a sort of really good broad picture of what your day looks like, or, you know, what your working day looks like, and it's incredibly varied. I'm intrigued. What has been your best day at work?
Oh, that's a really good question. What has been my best day? Well, I can say I've definitely have several of those days where you think, wow, this is what I've signed up for. This is why I do what I do. Well, I think a recent example, I've already mentioned it, but the visit to Wildcairn Hill was fantastic. It got me really inspired because you could see Nick's journey through, you know, learning about soils and being his own scientist. I think a farmer, I'm in awe of farmers every day. There have to be scientists, there have to be accountants, engineers, they have to wear so many hats. And, you know, just seeing him so passionate about science and using that knowledge to the advantage of his business and his soil was really inspiring. We put this event on. We were able to let other people be inspired about Nick's approach to regen farming. So the crowd there was mostly people with a technology background who, you know, wanted to find out more about regenerative agriculture. And that's what we delivered. And it was really good to see other people inspired as well and see them learning in action. I think that's what I like the most.
Okay, that's a great answer. And you know, in that answer, you talked about regenerative agriculture, regenerative farming, you know, and we know that's a really big topic. How much of your time is being spent on educating people in these new farming practices?
Well, I think we're spending more time talking about regenerative farming and agriculture. It's certainly a topic we covered quite a few years back at one of our REAP conferences, where we had a speaker from the US. I think that was back in the pandemic. I think that was our first REAP conference online, where we touched on soil health in particular and all the amazing things our soil can do. But I think a lot more people are interested about it, and people who don't have a farming background or come from technology often come to us wanting to find out more about this area. And also farmers, you know, who want to try different things, who want to try minimum tillage, who want to do more for their soils and understand their soil better. That's where we're helping people, providing them with the connections to researchers who work in that field actively, but also technology companies. You know, some of them produce, if people want to move away from mineral fertilizer, we've got a number of members that are working in biologicals and biostimulants. And that's a really exciting area where there's a lot going on there and people wanting to do trials and do things differently. So, yes, very exciting.
Laura, you're at the cutting edge of agricultural technology. Give me two things that you think are going to change within agriculture in the next 10 years.
We're at a crucial point, I think, at the moment with agriculture. And I think we're going to see a bigger role for artificial intelligence. I think for a lot of people, it's probably still quite blurry as to what artificial intelligence might mean on the ground every day in farming. But I think we'll be seeing a lot more of that embedded, I think, in everyday people's activities. And the second one, I think, is vertical farming. You know, the industry has evolved and continues to have its place in providing produce all year long. So, you know, I'm excited to see how that continues.
So if we just think about perhaps the final question I have for you, if someone, you know, is looking to develop a career in ag and particularly in agricultural technology, where can they go? You know, what help is there? Any advice?
Yes. So we organise the Early Career Innovators Forum, which is one of our initiatives at Agritech E for early career entrance into the industry. So for anyone in higher or further education, or if you've had a career change and you're new to agriculture, or you're just starting out in the sector and want to find out more, but don't quite know who to talk to or which events to go to, the Early Career Innovators Forum, ECIF for short, is your go-to place. We organise events to showcase all of the different opportunities available in the industry, agriculture and horticulture, and just to help widen people's horizons on what's going on. A really good opportunity as well to step out of your everyday shoes. And, you know, whether you're in the lab or in the field, getting to know different areas of the sector, but also equally importantly, meeting other people that you wouldn't otherwise know that are at a, you know, fairly similar stage in their career. So a really good opportunity to learn about the sector, meet other people, and potentially meet future employers as well. And this year, we've got a new point-based program. When people attend events and our webinars as well, you can get points on attendance and get certificates that you can showcase current and future employers as well. You can pop that on your LinkedIn profile. So a really good way to tangibly show that you've gone out there, you've been proactive, you've stepped out of your comfort zone, and you've gone out there to learn about the industry. So it's something nice and tangible to show. And we have our annual conference coming up on sustainability. Have a look at our website. We've got lots of exciting offerings at the moment.
So it sounds like the Early Careers Innovators Forum is a great thing to attend if you're looking to develop your career in agriculture. But as you're saying, it also sounds as if it's a great opportunity for continual professional development, which one can use as one develops one's careers. Well, look, if only I was 40 years younger, I'll be along there like a shot. I hope that event goes really well for you.
Thanks very much, Neville. We're very excited.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cultivate Your Future, and to my guest, Laura Bouvet, Knowledge and Innovation Facilitator at Agritech E. If you'd like to know more about Agritech E and the events that Laura mentioned during our conversation, we'll put a link in the show notes.